You're listening to a Squabble Box podcast.
Hey, welcome to another edition. Welcome to another episode of the Attack of the B Movies podcast, version 2.0, I believe we're calling it now. But we probably won't keep saying version 2.0 because we'll forget. Anyways, my name is Johnny, and along with me in the co-pilot seat of our vehicle is
James,
our good friend James. And James is who picked the movie for this run, or for this episode. I don't know, I can't speak today. You might have to take over and just do it.
Critters, 1986 sci-fi comedy horror film. Apparently Stephen Herrick had directed this. He did Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I want to say I saw Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
So I saw the movie when I was pretty young, and I don't remember. I remember not liking that one.
Okay,
I'm sure if I watched it now, I think it was hilarious.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah,
you gotta like Bill and Ted though.
Yeah, and you know Mighty Ducks. I did that.
It's interesting when we come upon a movie that has a director like him, because here he starts in B movies making like a horror comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's directing Mighty Ducks. He's directing Bill and Ted. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's always cool to me to see that.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, Peter Jackson and Sam Raimi have similar career paths. So yeah.
Yeah. Peter Jackson, what was his before he did Lord of the Rings, what was he famous for?
He did Dead Alive.
Huh?
I think he did, I haven't seen many of his horror stuff, but I know he did the one Bad Taste as well.
Okay. I know he started, like you said, like Sam Raimi and like Stephen Herrick, obviously.
Yeah.
So we were discussing before we started the episode. So this movie came out in 86 and Gremlins came out in 84. And a lot of people say a lot of people try to draw comparisons like, oh, you copied Gremlins. And the writer and directors are always like, no, we didn't. And honestly, I don't think they did. Like, I don't think that was necessarily the inspiration for this movie because it's totally different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also think that when you have a movie come out in a genre that's like, okay, we have these cute, we have these critters that are these creatures that are whatever. Once that one is successful, movie studios start green lighting anyone they could find.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the day, people would send spec scripts in and they would just hang on to these scripts. And if they used it, they used it. So I don't know if that was the case with this, but just saying that, you know, if you ever hear it compared that way, I don't think it was had anything to do with Gremlins. Besides, there's been five of these and a TV show.
A web series. I don't think a something similar is necessarily a ripoff either. I mean,
no, it's not a ripoff at all. That's what I'm saying. The setting's different. The creatures are, the origin's different. Everything's different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's, they're almost porcupine looking.
Yeah,
only they walk on 2 feet. They look like a cross between a hedgehog and a porcupine walking on 2 legs.
Right.
Huge. Mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of ugly. Let's be fair.
Yeah, they are. And
they're not as ugly as the Ghoulies, but they're pretty ugly. Right. That was going to be my point. You know, the '80s. So, the '80s we had Gremlins, we had Critters, we had Ghoulies. You look at stuff now, you don't get these kind of movies. They weren't masterpieces by any stretch of the imagination, but they were fun, and they were corny, but they were fun. Mm-hmm. Like even stuff like Attack of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Is it a masterpiece of storytelling? Fuck no.
Mm-hmm.
Is it hilarious when that biker says, what are you gonna do? Knock my block off, and the little person clown knocks his head off with a punch? Yes, it's hilarious. And that's what these movies are like. That's what this movie's like.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, Kyoto Brothers worked on both too. So
really?
There you go. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. And you know what else I miss? I miss New Line Cinema.
Oh yeah,
because this kind of stuff was always New Line Cinema or was it TriStar Dimension? It was always New Line Dimension and TriStar. Those none of them exist anymore, I don't think. And those are some of my favorite movies from the '80s and '90s came from those three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I digress. Basically, this movie is Lilo and Stitch without Lilo. Actually, it's Lilo and Stitch with just a lot of insane stitches. Because the movie starts off and they're on an asteroid in the prison. So clearly, this is not mankind. Keep that.
It's another the sci-fi race. Element is quickly introduced, right?
Yes, it is. And there is a group of aliens that I believe are called the Krites, right? That's how you say it. And they're supposed to be getting transported to another station.
Sounds like a Star Trek, from Star Trek. Kinda. Yeah.
So they decide they're going to escape. And the Krites are the critters. And so they throw on a little Thin Lizzy jailbreak and they escape. No, they don't put that on. That would have been, awesome. Been a great touch here, jailbreak while they're breaking out. I think that would have been awesome. Like, see, that's why you need. That's why Hollywood needs me.
Yes. Well, there is a rock star element, so this film does have that going for it.
Rock star element. I'll let you talk about that because I'm not sure.
Okay,
what I'm talking
about sounds good.
So they steal a ship, and here's the funny thing about these guys. So they're not huge, right? How tall are they? 4 feet, maybe.
Yeah, something
they're,
like that.
They're short. Mm-hmm. They have giant fingers, and they steal a spaceship. Like they have hands that you look at, you're like, those hands are for nothing other than eating things. Like, how do you do anything?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason they don't have clothes on, because they would never be able to put it on. So, but as ugly as they are, there's something cute about them at the same time. It's really bizarre to me. Like, I remember when I was a kid thinking, oh, they're so cute. And then I was like, oh, no, they're really not. What the fuck's wrong with me? But I mean, they're little fuzzy, furry things. They always look like they're smiling. They have a ton of teeth. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I don't know. There's something about them. So they hijack a ship, and they take off. I don't think they really know they're going to Earth. I just think they just escaped to a nearby planet. Like, I don't think they looked at it and they're like, oh, let's go to Earth.
Right, yeah, because they do crash it too. It's not like they really intend to go to Earth, right? I mean,
yeah. But they think they got away, but in reality, they didn't, because the warden of the prison planet hires two shapeshifters to follow them to Earth, and these shapeshifting bounty hunters.
It's a really cool idea. I think
it is. It actually was really cool. It was very similar to I Come in Peace or even Life Force a little bit.
Okay.
Right, because the bounty hunters came from space to get the alien.
It
is really cool, and they're shapeshifters, and so they blend in with our planet. They're watching so for those of you that don't understand how like RF signals work, like your old school TV antennas and FM radio, AM radio, all that stuff that we've watched over the years, those signals have blasted off our planet and into space and are continuing to travel through space. So somewhere millions of miles away, there could be an alien ship going, oh, great new show in America, Dukes of Hazzard. To them, they're just seeing it, because that's just how it is. The data is still there and exists.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know why I did that in the Eastern European. I think I was kind of ripping off Eurotrip with that.
Okay.
Because there was a guy in there that. So the two bounty hunters, one of them decides, oh, here's the rock and roll part. I didn't think about that. He decides to take the form of a guy named Johnny Steele, which is a rock star. And the other guy kind of is like, I don't know what I want to be, so I'm not going to do anything. And his face is just blank.
Like, well, standing out like a sore thumb, right? I mean,
he looks like a thumb.
That too, yeah.
So he's just like, meh. So now we're on Earth, and I want to say, what state are they in? Is it Kansas? Okay.
Yeah, because it's a farm, right? Rural farm. Right?
Well, there's no other farms, James. Well,
you know what I mean. Rural Kansas. Well,
it was either going to be Oklahoma, Kansas, or something. Yeah, it's going to be right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we meet this family, and they're sitting down for breakfast, and there's a mom and a dad and a teenage daughter, and they have a son also who's younger than a daughter. And the father's name is Jay. The mother is Helen. And they send the daughter, and that morning after breakfast, they're sending their daughter April and, like I said, the younger son Brad to school. and they're waiting for a mechanic to show up to help them out. And
the, Charlie. Yeah.
Huh?
Charlie is his name.
Yeah, yeah, Charlie's his name. Yeah, he's a find out he's a former baseball pitcher. He's also the town drunk. And he's also a chronic liar. And he also, I want to say, is claimed before that aliens have like crashed and abducted people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and he, yeah, he claims that he hears the messages from the aliens. Oh, is it through his tooth fillings? Yeah, it was through the tooth fillings. Just like how Lucille Ball claims she heard Japanese transmissions during World War II through her tooth, her tooth fillings.
Oh,
driving over a patch of road somewhere. So, you know, he shows up, or he's oh, does he show up now? Let me think for a second. The kids are the well, I know the son finds the son has a slingshot and he finds some of Charlie's explosives and he launches the not explosives, but it's like homemade fireworks. Mm-hmm. And he launches one, and doesn't he hit his sister April with it?
Yeah, yeah, he does.
Well, actually, no, part. I take that back. Charlie shot it.
Yeah,
Brad took the blame for it. So he gets no dinner for the day.
It's like, so, is that really a fair punishment? I don't know.
I don't know. Why would you take the hit for it?
Yeah, yeah.
So later that night, Brad goes up and he's sitting on the roof of the house, as many people in the country, as many country folk do, I suppose. If mm-hmm. you're a country folk and you're offended by that, I'm sorry, but tell me you don't. I don't know. They did it in the movie. Mm-hmm. I've never been to Kansas. Oh, you know, my neighbor's from Kansas. I should ask him.
Okay.
He worked on nuclear missiles for the Air Force in the 80s.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. So he sees he's on the roof. He's just kind of hanging out, looking at the sky, and he sees a, I think it's a meteorite crashing to Earth. Now, the audience knows it's not a meteorite crashing to Earth because we have already seen that a spaceship is heading towards Earth carrying a bunch of furballs.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say it's the dad and the son go to investigate thinking it's a meteorite, and they show up and things immediately go wrong. Because they see the critters eating a cow.
I guess they're pretty hungry. Yeah. You know,
they like their they like a good steak. Yeah. And I you know, I don't even as a kid, I don't think it was like something I watched going, ugh.
Right, right.
It was almost comical.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's see. How did they interrupt them? They see him eating the cow and they interrupt them. Do they get away? Because they're not the Brad and Jay aren't killed there.
Right. They're not. So
they get away, but yeah. Then the critters kill a cop.
Yeah, I remember that part. They do kill a cop, right?
And they kill a cop
mm-hmm.
and they eat him. And then they find the farm. And I don't know why they chose the farm that this family lives on. But they cut the power and they basically are like laying siege to this farm. Like they're not, no one can go in or out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is really strange. So, but no one knows this yet. They just know that the farm has no power. So the dad, Jay, goes, okay, I'll go check the circuit breaker. And he goes outside to do it and he gets attacked by one of the critters and he gets mangled pretty good. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he escapes though. And I want to say at this point, so he's there, and the daughter, that's right, in typical 80s horror movie fashion, the daughter's about to have sex in the barn with her boyfriend.
That seems very, well, this doesn't seem comfortable, but hey, you have to take what you can get, right?
Well, if it's anything, you know what? There's plenty of films on certain websites that show that happening, so yeah, apparently it's a thing.
But, I mean, you might get a rash from the hay, I don't know. Whatever.
That might be one of the funniest things you said. you know, the worst part about it is when you get stabbed with the hay. so what happens? So Doesn't the boyfriend get murdered?
Yeah, the critters kill Steve. Yes.
So here's the thing. Do they ever explain why they just kill everything? Or is it just because they're just hungry? I don't think there's ever an explanation as to why they just kill all the time.
No, just hunger.
They're either hungry or they're just like sociopaths.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
So why don't you take over for a little bit? So the boyfriend, who I think is Steve, gets killed by one of the critters.
Mm-hmm. And so, oh,
God, don't. I hope you say the part I'm thinking of. Go ahead.
Well, we know that, you know, shortly thereafter, the creature is slain. It devours one of Brad's lit firecrackers, which is, yes, there is a still of that on IMDb. That's the spark, which is really funny and just not something you would expect to happen. But hey,
where's the still shot of it?
It's what.
Cheesy 80s garbage, but good fun. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Completely agree with that guy.
But yeah, there's a still of that, and it's on there on IMDb.
There's over 99 photos on IMDb from the movie.
Wow, that's not bad.
It makes you wonder why. Oh, I forgot to mention that the guy that the shapeshifting alien that didn't choose a face, they're green, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Not like they don't stand out. Daughter is not bad. The daughter was nice looking.
Yeah. So that happens, right? The remaining critters sabotage the Browns and Steve's cars. So the Browns, it sort of becomes sort of a siege at this point. The Browns have to hold up inside the main house.
With no explanation as to why. Like, why wouldn't they go to the village or go to the nearest town?
Yeah,
I need to correct myself. They're shorter than 4 feet, so them stealing a spaceship is even more amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so, too. The fact that, I mean, yeah, they did crash it, but they managed to fly it. I mean, I don't think they've had any prior training, so they just,
Hey, what part is it when he's interrogating the stuffed animal? There's a picture of the critter interrogating a stuffed animal. What part?
Oh, that's the E.T.
The E.T. stuffed animal. He's like, who are you?
Yeah. And he eats subtitle. His head. Because the critters do speak a few times in this movie.
Yeah, these things are, I was way off. They're not like 4 feet tall. They're like a foot and a half tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So
I still have not found the picture. Oh, there's Born in USA. A picture poster for Born in USA. I have not found the picture that you mentioned, and I want to see it so bad now.
It's basically the critter standing, and there's a spark on the ground on the hay. I think it's the ground or the floor of the barn, and there's a spark, and it looks like he's, you know, you can kind of tell that the firecracker went off.
Oh, okay. You know, some of the other there are other funny things in here too. So like the bounty hunters, the one guy looks like the rock star. And they go, you know, they at one point go into a church and they get these giant guns and they're dressed in like studded red leather. And it's just fucking ridiculous. Or they go bowling. And I don't remember why they went bowling, but I know they went bowling. And I was like,
well, I think it's because they thought the critters, I believe, are at the bowling alley. And then, like, one of, I think the Johnny Steele bounty area, he takes a ball and he bowls it, right? And then it causes the pins to explode.
That's right. I forgot about that. Oh.
Man. They're very aggressive.
The bounty hunters?
Yeah.
Because here, and they stole other, and throughout the movie, they changed identities. Because at one point, they're like, I think they, at one point, one of them looks like Jay. One of them looks at like the dead guy. I think at some point they switch around a little too.
Yeah, yeah. Which
makes everything even worse. But yeah, so I forgot about some of the funnier parts. But yeah, the Browns end up hiding in the house, and this is when the two guys are like going through the town, like they think the critters are in the town, and most of them are not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the church, the bowling alley, and then yeah. It's not even like the second bounty hunter that doesn't have a face is like chosen one. But he must go through like five or six townspeople's faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because remember I think he does take the.
Oh, Charlie! Charlie's one of them. That's who it was. I just saw the picture.
Okay, yeah, I believe the bounty hunter. He does take the reverence. He has reverence face.
That's yeah, right.
And then like the bartender at the bowling alley is asking him like, "What are you up to, Reverend?"
He's got the gun with him. dressed in the studded leather outfit. Well, so the kid Brad escapes the farm and he wants to go to town to get the sheriff for help or whatever. And he runs into the two bounty hunters. And in typical 80s fashion, somehow they're both like, "Oh, we're shape-shifting bounty hunters hunting these furry creatures. Have you seen them?" Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not, that's not exactly what's said, but basically he sees them, finds them, and mm-hmm. they explain who they are, which mm-hmm. really
yeah.
okay. Yeah. Yeah, this is kind of the Lilo and Stitch part of it a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Well, I know where they are. Let's go." So critters have been systematically being killed off throughout the movie. And I think there were only 7 or 8 to start with. Mm-hmm. So now I think there's only one left.
I mean, considering how many, like, what's their like breeding rate? I mean, I don't know how, they don't even really get into how they breed or multiply, but it's
something. So yeah, you know, I like a lot of weird, strange, kinky stuff to some extent. I've never thought of how the critters breed. So
me neither. Who knows,
James.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, they're nude the whole movie. I don't see any genitals. So
yeah.
Yeah. So oh my god, somebody's gonna do some critters cosplay furry shit now. So there's one left at the farm. It kidnaps the daughter. And I don't understand something. It's not big. How's it kidnap her?
Right. I mean,
like, these things are small enough that you could like punt them across the street. Now, granted, it would piss them off. And if they came at you with those teeth and got you, that would really screw your day up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyways, it kidnaps her and goes to the, I wanted to say the barn, but no, it goes back to their ship, right? At the crash landing site. And the bounty hunters arrive there at the same time. And hilarity ensues. No, Charlie and Brad, what's his name? So Charlie and Brad sneak aboard the ship to rescue April. They're trying to get her out and they're leaving. And Brad was going to use a firecracker, like one of those, because so Charlie's known for making firecrackers that are like off the chain. Like if you wanted an M80, it was like an M240.
Wow.
Like they were always like he always overpowered them. That was the whole thing. That was like early in the movie they talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So Brad drops the one he's carrying, so they can't set it off to destroy the spaceship, because I'm not sure that would even happen or work, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So as I think there's more critters on the ship. I think there was one left in the house and there might have been some left in the barn or the ship.
Yeah, I think so too.
And so they're running from the critters, escaping with what's her name? How am I blinking? I just said it. April O'Neil. No. And so now this is when it gets good. So they escape the spaceship, or they're escaping the spaceship. The spaceship takes off still. Well, either way, they're escaping from the spaceship and the critters take off and they're kind of like, "Hey, you know what? Fuck you guys. We're blowing up your house just because."
Mm-hmm.
Like for no reason other than they escape from April, they turn and they blow up the farmhouse. I don't know what happens to the mom in this movie.
Mom, yeah,
she's in a lot of the scenes.
Yeah,
but when they blow up the farmhouse, are the parents still in it?
I don't think so.
No, they escaped, right?
Yeah,
So then Charlie takes one of his beloved whiskey bottles and makes a Molotov cocktail, launches it into the ship, and it magically lands right by the firecracker, and the fire from it ignites the firecracker, and boom goes dynamite, killing the critters.
Mm-hmm.
So the bounty hunters did nothing
except cause things to explode.
Yeah, well, no, I take that back. They rebuilt the house.
Yeah,
they brought the house back. So they brought the house back and they give Brad a little communicator and say, if another invasion of them ever shows up, please call us. So we can bowl some more and shoot up a church. And then they leave.
Yep.
But the last, well, I think it's the last scene, we find out that there's critter eggs in the barn in a chicken's nest, and they're like vibrating, like ready to hatch.
It's a similar ending to X-Trol, except cheesier.
To what?
Like, X-Trol?
That was the one with the ants, right?
X-Trol, no, that's an alien movie. Remember we talked about X-Trol 3? And then you mentioned the ending of X-Trol during that review?
We did talk about X-Trol, and we did do that.
Yeah.
Why can't I... Man, we've done a lot of these movies. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of a typical trope. So at the end of this one, it spawns the second one, which picks up where this one leaves off, if I remember correctly.
Okay, I'll have to check it out then.
Yeah. You never saw the second one?
No.
Oh my God. There's a scene where they all combine and they form one giant critter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I have awesome. The box set.
It's so awesomely, it's awesomely horrible. It's so good.
I have the box set, so I'll be able to watch the rest of them.
Yeah, so there's three sequels. So there's Critters, well, actually, Critters 2, Critters 3.
Critters Attack, which I haven't seen.
Well, Critters Attack just came out. It's a reboot. That's relatively new, not just. But Critters, A New Binge, was on Shudder online.
Okay, I haven't seen the series either, but I have Shudder. I haven't either. So.
Critters Attack, the fifth entry, came out in 2019.
I see.
Helen Brown came, let's see. Dee Wallace was assumed to portray a new heroine. So Dee Wallace is still in it. She's got to be up there. Wow. It was funny. Yeah. Dee Wallace was also in E.T.
Yes. Yes.
Alien Christ have landed in the nearby forest. they soon receive help from the mysterious Aunt Dee, who might have a history with the hungry intergalactic beasts. Now I want to watch it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's enough love for movies like this. I really don't.
Me neither.
I think that for a lot of the movies we watch, you know.
Yeah, and if you get the box set, which I have, the Scream Factory box set, it has the I think all the movies have documentaries, and I watched the first first documentary from the first movies. Well, documentary. Cool. And yeah, it was really, really, I think it's worth watching.
I think, you know, there's the two thoughts. There's two trains of thoughts on movies, maybe three, really. So like there was an argument recently with, like, I think Martin Scorsese or one of those guys known for making great theatrical movies and who hasn't done shit in the last 10 years, 20 years. That was good. And no, The Irishman wasn't good. It was boring as hell. And they still didn't find Hoffa's body. What was the point? So one of those guys came out trashing comic book movies about not being real filmmaking. And it's like, what do you define as real filmmaking?
Because that sounds familiar.
Because what do you define as real filmmaking or real, you know, because they have relatively good stories, they're enjoyable to watch, and people enjoy it and like it. So what's the problem? Like, sure, Chinatown from the 70s is a fantastic movie. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Great movie. But you know what? If I want to, like, watch something that's kind of funny and scary, I'm not putting Chinatown on.
Right, right.
It's not the right thing. You know, and there's people that are, or people that trash the movies we like. It's like, look, it's just a fun diversionary movie. But a lot of the B movies are from studios that don't make huge budget movies and take plots that, you know, like mainstream Hollywood has a formula they follow, whether it's like a mafia movie or a comedy or romantic comedy. Well, actually, they all have, it's always a formula they follow. Why do you think every Liam Neeson movie that comes out looks like the first Taken?
That's what you're saying.
When you talk about B movies, they don't do that. They'll take a chance on a script that Hollywood would never do. And that's what I like about them. And, you know, Critters is kind of one of those movies. Could it have ever been done better and made like as an A-list movie? Probably not. But
could they have gotten Billy Idol? I mean, originally they wanted Billy Idol for the Johnny Steele.
That would have been awesome.
But they got Terrence Mann instead. So
who And his best Billy Idol. But the thing with the critter, with the movie Critters, is it was somewhat comedic. It's fun. Special effects weren't horrible, but it was like you said, the story was somewhat interesting, right? Like, here's these aliens that are fugitives. They escape the Earth. They're bounty hunter. They hire shape shifting bounty hunters. I mean, all that, pretty cool. And where do they land in New York? Do they try taking over the world? No, they land in rural Kansas and attack a farm. That's pretty horror-ish, right? Like,
yeah,
I think that's, you know. So I don't know where that rant was going, other than if you don't like regular, if you can't agree to disagree with people about the kind of movies they watch, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, everyone's like, oh, how come you like Star Wars? I'm like, 'cause it's fun. It's fun, and I like science fiction, and I like the world that Lucas created, and I still like the world that as Disney's carrying on with it. Because while I don't like every episode of The Mandalorian or The Book of Boba Fett, or I don't like every movie, you know, I don't think every movie's a 9 or 10 that they've made, the content they've put out that I like is good enough, and it's enough for me. And that's the critter. That's kind of the Critters, the whole franchise. If you've never seen 2, watch 2. It's great. Okay. I've seen 1, 2, and 3. I've never seen 4 or 5.
Yeah, the box set has all 4 of them. Well, yeah. Except for the 5th one, but yeah.
See, now I gotta get these. My daughter's 9. I used to watch these when I was like 5. And I can't get her to watch them. I'm like, come on, they're cute. They just want to be loved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Scott Grimes is in this. We were talking about that earlier too, for those still listening after my stupid rant. Scott Grimes, you might know from The Orville. Actually, he plays a navigator on it. So, and some other stuff. But yeah. I like this movie. It's one of my favorite ones from when I was a kid. I still like watching it. How about you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Very, very entertaining, right? Very fun. I mean, just pretty wild fun. And I like the ship. I think it was a critter ship, the one we see that Jay and his son see, right? Or,
well, the one they hijack, yeah.
Yeah, this, I really like the ship design. That was really cool.
Yeah, I thought so too. I liked the fact that for a horror movie, they did a little bit of fish out of water element when they were in the town.
Yeah,
the hunters.
Yeah,
like they knew how to dress and what to look like, so people wouldn't think they were aliens, but they had no idea how to act.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, I like this one a lot.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you have exploding bowling pins, reckless driving, and plenty of gunfire to go around. So there you go. Right?
That is true. That is very true. So it was made for $3 million only? Yeah, its budget was $3 million and made $13
million.
Sure. It only has a 50% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. That's because people don't have taste.
Yeah, pretty much.
Again, if it's not Sundance, no one must suck.
Well, it's interesting, speaking of Sundance, because I only checked out one of their movies from this year. I only watched one. But there was a thing going now where you can get a refund because of like canceled showings and stuff. So I might be able to get a refund for the ticket I bought. I don't know.
Wait, were you going to Sundance?
No, I watched one. I watched it off through my Roku.
So you bought the ticket for the movie. You watched it. You didn't like it, so you get to refund it?
No, basically like for canceled movies. There was an article.
Oh, it never came out.
Well, I have to look at the article now. I have to remember what it says. But basically, part of it was they advertised that it was in person. And, so I did the online, one of the online showings, one of the movies. But yeah, it was something along those lines. It was a class action lawsuit. Sundance Film Festival under fire for failing to refund tickets to canceled screenings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I might be able to get a refund. I don't know.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah. So I think that's enough of our ranting and raving. So thanks for listening.
Watch Critters.
Seriously, watch Critters.
If you like it, get the box set. I mean, it's a good deal, I think.
It's honestly one of the better movies we've reviewed. We don't really review them, but it's definitely out of all the B movies we've watched, we like a lot of them. The Filipino one you found, dude. But we generally like most of them, or at least one of us does. This is just a good fun fan. This is a good fun 80s. It oozes 80s and it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, but thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Bye. Yeah.
You've been listening to a Squabble Box podcast.